We're talking about fences and weeds today on The Balanced Word.
You will never have any healthy relationships in your life until you will assert the area of stewardship that is yours by saying, this is what God has given me, and I am going to take care of it. And at the same time, I respect your responsibility, but I'm not going to spend all my energy, time, money, effort trying to fix what's wrong with you, because that's something you're going to have to figure out. Now, it doesn't mean you don't ever help anyone else, but you help people in a healthy way for the right reasons. If my yard is taken care of and my life is healthy, yeah, now I can go over to your yard and help you pick some weeds or help you build your fence.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Are you the kind of person that says yes to anyone and everything, and at the end of the week you're just completely worn out because your plate's too full? Today on The Balanced Word, we discover it's a good idea to set up some healthy boundaries or fences in our lives. Pastor Dave Rolfe considers a story told by Solomon about someone walking by a place where there were weeds in the vineyard and a fence broken down. It has a lot to say about our lives today, as we'll soon see. We're in Proverbs chapter 24.
Proverbs 24, we're going to be looking primarily at verses 30 through 34. We're going through the Old Testament this year and picking up key Bible stories along the way. Just the Bible's so full of cool stories. This story in Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 30, is a story that Solomon told about walking by somebody's yard and looking at its condition and going, boy, does this tell me a lot. For this service, I thought about getting a lot of your addresses from the office and just taking pictures of your yards and showing them up on the screen, but I'm just not that energetic. But look at this story. Solomon says, I went by the field of the lazy person and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. Now, the word lazy there, lazy doesn't just imply a motive, because he makes it clear this person doesn't get it, and that's why they are the way they are. The word lazy in Hebrew is just a word that means to lean on something. And so it's tending toward, you know, you're not doing everything that you could. You're kind of like hesitating. But he says, well, you might go, wait, how did you know this guy was lazy? And how did you know he was ignorant? Well, he said, there it was, all overgrown with thorns. The surface was covered with nettles, weeds. Its stone wall was broken down. So he says, it's amazing what you can tell about someone when you look at the way they keep their yard, when you look at the way they keep their home, when you look at the way they manage their business, because in this case, it's a business, a vineyard, and a home, a place where you would live. And he says, when I saw it, I considered it well. I really meditated. I go, whoa, this is something. I looked on it and received instruction. This process of the wheels started spinning. It's like he didn't just go by and go, yep, that guy's lazy. But he goes, this is something to really think about. And so we'll try to do that this morning, what he said he did, because that's what wisdom does. And he said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Now, up in verse 27, he had talked about this basic principle. He said, prepare your outside work, you know, your field, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. So the priority that he was giving there is make sure that you create a business opportunity that's going to support you. Don't focus just on your house. Make sure that you take care of your work so that you'll end up having a house. And so he puts this sort of work-home balance to the test and says, you know, make sure that you've got the work side taken care of so that the home life can be created as well. Now, in the case of this guy that he's observing, there are two problems. There are weeds in the vineyard, and there is a fence that's broken down. And in both cases, it destroys both items. It destroys work, and it destroys home. Because weeds in a vineyard will cut down productivity. And productivity is what cutting weeds is about. But having a fence that's broken down not only affects your productivity because animals can come in, people can come in and pick your grapes and so on, but then ultimately it affects the security of your entire property. And so he's telling this story and saying, do you understand how much it means when you fail to secure your perimeters with fences and when you fail to maintain a vineyard by cutting out weeds? Because if you allow weeds to grow with the fruit, at first, it doesn't look like a big deal. You can have grapes and weeds growing right alongside each other, and it seems fine. But over time, little slumber, little sleep, little folding of the hands, all of a sudden, now your grapes can't get the water and the nutrients from the soil that they need because it's being sucked up by weeds. Weeds grow so fast because they are good at extracting everything they need in order to grow. So he's going, you got to think about that. And as we consider it, I mean, there are things that we can learn just literally from it, from these principles. You know, fences are there for a reason. And weeds need to be taken out for a reason. Now, when I was thinking about this, I really thought about what's going on with our U.S. borders. You know, anytime you don't secure a border, you don't have a secure country. In fact, it can be said that if you don't have a secure border, you don't have a border at all. Yet, you know, today it seems like people are just thinking, no, let's just ignore the borders. Let's just let anybody come across that wants to. We are the world. And that attitude, it does appeal to us on a certain level because we feel like, yeah, I don't want to turn anyone away. Well, why don't you just do that with your house? Take the front door off, take the gate down, take the garage door off, and see what happens. What happens is everything outside ends up coming inside. And now there is no house after a while. There is no property. And we will find, if we don't find a way to solve this, we're going to find out that there is no border. There is no country. We can't maintain our security anymore. And so, I mean, that's something that I look at here. But it's funny, in other areas, we see the same kind of thing. We have a fence on the back end of the church. And we used to just have it open. And there was a constant stream of people who were cutting across our property because they would rather do that than to walk around like they really should have. But what happens is people had to be out there every day picking up piles and piles of trash, because people who come on your property and they don't think of it as your property, they don't mind if they throw stuff down. So, you know, every day we were picking up beer cans and beer bottles and used prophylactics and all kinds of stuff, you know, that it's like, what a mess. So we thought, well, if we at least... There were drug deals going on in our parking lot, and we're at church, and there are people who, you know, we've got kids here, and we're letting anybody come across the property. So we thought, well, let's put a gate up and at least make it secure, you know, at certain times. But that wasn't good enough for them because they wanted to earn. So people cut the fence. They put glue in our locks. And so finally, we just decided as far as I'm concerned, it's a fence. They're not coming through. Now, there are people who are really offended by that. Wait, shouldn't we be open to everyone? Well, yeah, if they're coming here for church. But there are times when if you don't have fences, your property is going to be destroyed. Now, yes, there are people who just climb over the fence now, and you see somebody left in a stroller over the fence or a shopping cart, and because you can't keep people out completely. But the staff people who go out and pick up trash will tell you that our trash is down by like 90% since we said, no, that's a fence. Now, you have to be diligent because they cut holes in the fence. We bring a fencing place out and we keep doing it. But it's really funny because I have people sometimes say to me, that isn't like what Jesus would do. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're getting sucked into this same socialistic mentality that says everybody owns everything. But there are lessons that we can learn, but that's not what this is about primarily. We look at this literally and go, no, there's a good reason to take care of your fence. There's a good reason to keep your yard tended and your field maintained, okay? But now I want to say, if Solomon looked at it and said, wow, this gave me a lot to think about. So what is it that would give a guy like Solomon, who's so smart, a lot to think about when it comes to something that seems pretty simple? The guy's lazy, the guy's ignorant because he's not securing his property and he's not maintaining his productivity. Okay, now what else? I'll go mow my lawn, but what else are we talking about here? Well, you know, as we start thinking about fences and weeds, it ends up having a really strong analogy to a whole lot of areas of our lives. Fences or borders are kind of those things that say, okay, this is mine. This is my stewardship. Here is something that God has given to me, and he expects me to keep it in a reasonable way, take care of it, nurture it, and I draw these boundaries. Now, when little kids are first born, they have no sense of limitation. They have no sense of fences at all. As far as they're concerned, the whole world is theirs. It's just anything I see, I want. That's why when they go into the store, they want everything that they see. And when kids get to be usually about two or a little before, they call it the terrible twos, because now what they're having to learn is, I have limits, but other people have limits too. I can't have everything I want. Now, by that age, kids are learning to make choices. And that's a really important thing. It's an important skill to develop. Wow, I have options and I make choices. But as they mature, if they're going to be healthy individuals, they're also going to have to begin to learn that I have an area of my choices, my prerogatives, my responsibility and opportunity, but other people have that too. And so they have to learn about sharing. They have to learn that just because they don't want to go to bed right now doesn't mean that they're not going to go to bed right now. Now, if you just continue to let a kid, and now when somebody's a year old, you're not explaining this to them, they don't even get it. But as they begin to verbalize and you know, they need to learn, wow, you have a lot of choices. But they need to learn, but you don't have all choices. And you can't always choose for me. I have choices too. Because ultimately, that's what allows relationships. You can't really have a healthy relationship with anyone until you get to the point where you understand that you have your stuff and they have their stuff. And as long as that's secure, it's easy for you to share and connect and relate. A child who doesn't learn that other people get choices too will end up not having a lot of friends. Now, I think in some ways our society, and it makes sense because we think that everyone's entitled. So, you know, half the people now in our country are on, you know, receiving some kind of federal assistance. I'm thankful that it's there, but I got to believe that half the people aren't necessarily deserving of some of that. But what happens, we're raising a whole generation that thinks they don't have limits, that thinks that, wait, if you have it and I want it, I should be entitled to it. The people who are being raised to think that, If there's one person who has a lot of money and there's somebody else who doesn't have any money, we need to just kind of spread it all out so that we'll each have some. That doesn't work, number one. And number two, it disincentivizes people from actually being good stewards of what is theirs, because why should you take care of of what is yours if then somebody else can just come and take it? If there are no restrictions, if there are no boundaries and fences to it. To mature means to do that. Now, again, in our society today, we still have a vast number of people who are still at the 18-month-old stage where they still think the whole world is about them. And so, personally, I think this whole narcissistic thing of it's all about me is just growing and spreading incredibly. And it doesn't lead for healthy and secure people or healthy and secure relationships. It causes people to spend a significant amount of their day taking selfies. Look at me here. Look at me there. Ooh, look at how funny I look here. Look how cute I am here. Ooh, here's my meal. Look at this. And showing the world, me, 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 me. I mean, nowhere is this more ridiculous than these stupid, you know, it's like, oh, ALS. Yeah, it's a horrible neurological disease that affects thousands of people. The government's spending $45 million a year trying to research it. But forget that. Look at me. Look at me. I'm dumping ice on my head. Ha ha. Look at how funny I look. And you know what? I'm going to make other people do what I want because I thought I was cute with ice on my head. I'm going to call out you and you and you. And let's all dump ice on our head while we're in this drought where pretty soon it's going to be illegal to water your lawn. But we're like watering ourselves. And it was a brilliant promotional idea, don't get me wrong, to somehow get a bunch of money raised appealing to people's narcissism. That was genius because that's our society. But does anybody even think about it? Well, no, because it's all about me, you see. Well, maturity means I'm sure half of you have already dumped ice on your head like a fool. And some of you have challenged me to do it. It's not going to happen. Okay? I don't. If Lou Gehrig was a Dodger, maybe. But here's the thing. As we mature, we need to figure out, okay, what's my area of responsibility? Now, how do I take care of that? There's a really groundbreaking book in this area called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend that does a good job of, there are a couple of Christian psychologists, that does a good job of showing what happens when people no longer have boundaries in their lives. Well, some of what happens is other people are making the decisions that are actually yours to make. Other people intrude. You're so worried that somebody's going to be bugged at you that you just do what they want. They take your time, they take your money, they take your energy, and you're like, okay, I have to. And you end up being unhealthy because you're not even sure who you are. You begin to believe that you're just there to do what other people want you to do. And then what's even unhealthier than that is when you think other people are there just to satisfy your needs and your desires. Almost every marriage that breaks down over this issue. One person not respecting the boundaries of the other, one person feeling disempowered, one person feeling like somebody else is making all the decisions, one person feeling like they're pushed and manipulated by somebody else, two people feeling like, I am not happy because of you. If you would do what I want you to do, my life would be great. That is a mentality of somebody who doesn't understand the principle of maintaining fences. And ultimately, somebody can do that for years. Yeah, I'm just whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. And all of a sudden, they wake up. And a lot of times what happens is maybe they'll get away for a couple days. They start thinking about their life and going, this is terrible. And all of a sudden realizing, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even have a life. I'm just like being pulled in all directions. I'm so busy doing things that I don't want to do. I don't necessarily feel like I should do them. But it's easier for me to do what people want me to do than to, you know, and get them to shut up than it is for me to go, I don't think I actually want to do that. And this is so important for us to understand because you will never have any healthy relationships in your life until you will assert the area of stewardship that is yours by saying, this is what God has given me and I am going to take care of it. And at the same time, I respect your responsibility, but I'm not going to spend all my energy, time, money, effort trying to fix what's wrong with you, because that's something you're going to have to figure out. Now, it doesn't mean you don't ever help anyone else, but you help people in a healthy way for the right reasons. If my yard is taken care of and my life is healthy, yeah, now I can go over to your yard and help you pick some weeds or help you build your fence. But if I'm neglecting my life and my health because you're trying to pull me away to worry about your stuff, and if you really think that it's my problem to support you, well, we've got a fence problem. And my job, first and foremost, is to protect my own boundaries even before my responsibility to help other people with theirs. To neglect that is to end up with your life a complete mess, and you have no idea how it got that way. But what happened is not taking as a stewardship what God says, here's your life. You're responsible for it with what you're going to do. And to ruthlessly do that. But in order to do it, you have to say no sometimes. And some of us just can't bear that.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. As we return to Pastor Dave, he explains why it's necessary at times to say no.
If you are too busy, if your attitude is, I'm not only dragging on Friday night, I'm dragging on Monday morning when I wake up. It's like, I have so much to do. You understand you have the same number of minutes in your day as everyone else does. But you choose. What are you going to do with that time? How are you going to protect yourself? How are you going to protect the goose that lays the golden egg? If you keep giving everything away or you keep giving away your time, you're going to run down. And what will happen is you let people roll over you, wear you out, and then they'll go find somebody else to dump on. You should never be the person, and some of us, and this is a major issue for me, I kind of like the fact that people can always count on me. That, you know, there are times when I felt good that people who listen on K-Wave, you know, they'll call and I'll return their call. And they go, wow, I called, and they name all these other pastors. You're the only one that called back. And there's a part of me that takes pride in that. There's a part of me that very intentionally thinks it's good to sometimes call people back. But there's a part of me also that knows deep down inside, those other guys who don't return every call they get just because somebody called, maybe they're on to something. But you can overreact. I think pastors who won't talk to people, I mean, that's what the way they get that way, by the way, is that they get so worn out from having people dump all their stuff on them. That's when pastors start running out the back door after church and getting out of there. I totally understand that. But I don't do it. And that's why I'm so tired right now. And I think, Jerry, could you do third service? I'm just... But that's what happens to your life. God gives you responsibilities. And if you stay with that, you'll be amazed how much is left over to help others. But if every time you feel like the harder I work, even the more money I make, the more people want my money. The more it's going to be taxed, the more it's going to be, somebody decides that somebody else is entitled to what I have. It's a recipe for disaster in a life. And sometimes we just have to decide, one of the most important skills for us to learn is how can I just say no?
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this has been The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. We'll have another great Bible story for you next time. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.